Isaiah chapter 1, continue our study in the book of it. And just a recap, if you would, just try to remind you a little bit of what we talked about last Sunday night. How children of Israel have rebelled against the Lord. And God has given them opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. And it continues to tell them, I'm tired of your fakeness. I'm tired of you going through the motions. I'm tired of your sacrifices. I'm tired of all the things you're doing, your vain oblations. Let me start reading verse number 1, and I'll read down through the whole chapter, and you got verse and verse. Let me just read the whole thing, and maybe that'll help refresh your memory of what we discussed the first 15 verses. The vision of Isaiah, son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah and Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, king of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nursed and brought up children. They have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know. My people doth not consider. All sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Why should you be stricken any more? Will you revolt more and more? The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even unto the head there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate, your cities are burned with fire, your land the strangers devour it in your presence. It is desolate, as overthrown by strangers. The daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear to the law of your God, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and of the fat of fed beasts. I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. When you come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me, the new moons and Sabbath, the calling of assemblies. I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Verse 18, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. How has the faithful city become a harlot? It was full of judgment, righteousness lodged in it, but now murderers. Thy silver is become dross, thy wine mixed with water, thy princes are rebellious and companion of thieves. Everyone loveth gifts and follow after rewards. They judge not the fatherless, neither doth the cause of the widow come unto them. Therefore saith the Lord of hosts, the mighty one of Israel, I will ease me of my adversaries and avenge me of my enemies. And I will turn my hand upon thee and purely purge away thy dross and take away all thy kin. And I will restore thy judges as at the first and thy counselors as at the beginning. Afterward thou shalt be called the city of righteousness, the faithful city. Zion shall be redeemed with judgment and her converts with righteousness. And the destruction of the transgressors and of the sinners shall be together, and they that forget or forsake the Lord shall be consumed. Verse 29, for they shall be ashamed of the oaths which they have desired, and ye shall be confounded for the gardens that ye have chosen. For ye shall be as an oak whose leaf fadeth, and as a garden that hath no water. And the strong shall be as tow, and the maker of it as a spark. And they shall both burn together, and none shall quench them. That's Isaiah chapter 1, verse 1 through 31. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, once again for the privilege to be in your house tonight. Thank you, Lord, for your love and for your grace. Father, for your mercy. Thank you for the precious word of God. I pray, God, you'd help me now tonight, Lord, to say that's needful and necessary in this hour. I pray to illuminate my mind, guard these lips of clay, Father, tonight. I pray to open the ears of the hearers, Lord, tonight. May we, Lord, to gain some knowledge from this precious word of God. And I pray, Lord, that you bless all that's said and all that's done. Go back all the opposing powers, Lord, here tonight. I pray as we study the precious word of God, Lord, you make it real to us, Father. Help us to see and understand. Lord, we'll thank you, Father. We'll praise you for what's accomplished. In Jesus' loving name we do pray. Amen and amen. First 15 verses we studied, and we learned how that Israel had rebelled and turned from God and began to do things that was not well-pleasing unto the Lord. And we noticed that the Lord had sent Isaiah the prophet to send a message to them that they would hear and they would repent of their sin, turn from their wicked ways, that God would bless them. There's many places throughout this passage and throughout the book of Isaiah where God sent many warnings to them to repent, to get right, to stop doing the things they were doing, to stop bringing those vain oblations, to quit sacrificing, to quit going through the motions of the service. It's basically telling them, your heart's not in it, you're full of deceit, you're full of lies, and I'm sick of it. God says, I want your whole heart. I want you to serve me with your whole heart. That's what the commandments are, amen. The first and foremost, the most important commandment is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, and all thy mind, amen. And God wants our hearts, and he certainly wanted Israel's heart. And so he certainly sends the prophets and informs them that he knows what they're doing. He understands the things that they're trying to cover up and how their heart's not in what they're doing. They was not concerned about the widow. They wasn't concerned about people around them. They was concerned about themselves and getting gain for themselves and pleasing themselves. God said, I'm sick of that. You're my people. Amen. You're to be aware of what's going on around you. You're to be concerned about the souls of others. And you're to be concerned about the widows and things like that. God even says, no, if you don't repent of your sin and stop doing the things you're doing, I will not hear your prayers. I won't listen to what you got to say. I'm tired of it. Amen. There comes a point in time God just says, I'm tired of it.
Right.
Amen. There's coming a day that for even the church age, God's going to say, that's it. Time out. Time out's over. It's time to play ball again. Israel's going to be back on the scene. Church is going to be out of here. Amen. And God's going to start dealing with Israel again. But anyway, we're looking at chapter 1. We're starting verse number 15. I think we got down to verse 15 last Sunday night. To verse number 15, and when you spread forth your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. When Judah finally would try to pray to God, he said, I will not hear. I will not listen to what you have to say. I won't pay any attention to your prayers. Well, wouldn't that be a sad day in the life of a believer for God not to hear our prayers?
Right.
Wouldn't that be sad if God said unto us, I'm not listening? Because there's sin in your life, there's sin in your heart, your heart's not right with me, and I'm not listening to nothing you have to say. Boy, that'd be sad. I know my children, whenever they was growing up, if I were to look at my girls and say, I'm not listening to what you have to say, I don't want to hear it. I know that would break their heart. Amen. And hopefully it would cause them to repent of what they did. Amen. God's the same way. He's telling Israel, I'm not going to hear, I'm not going to pay attention to what you have to say. Judah had tolerated the murder of Zechariah, Joash, 2 Chronicles chapter 24, verse 20 and 22. They participated in the abomination of Amalek with their small children, 2 Kings chapter 16, verse number 3. And they had tolerated bloodshed in their land. And God said, that's enough. I've had it. This was once a land that was full of righteousness. This was once a land that was full of God-fearing people. And you have allowed all this wickedness to come in. And you're participating in some of it and allowing these things to go on. God said, I'm done. I'm not even going to listen to your prayer. If you pray, I'm not listening until you repent of your sins. All right? Now, the Scripture does say, that, and God did tell them, that he would hide his eyes from them. And when you make too many prayers, I will not hear. When you go to verse number 18, let me jump ahead and say it real quickly. I'll come back. But he says in verse 18, he says, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord.
though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. God says there's a remedy for this situation. If you'll just listen to me, come and come before the Lord and humble yourself. Amen. Right. Let's talk about this. Let's reason this thing out. The things you're doing is against the commands of the Lord. It's against the will of God. It's against my wishes for you to do these things or allow these things to take place. If you would stop allowing that, your sins can be forgiven. Right. Amen. There is a remedy. Amen. I'm glad, thank God, there's a remedy. God does still forgive sin. Amen. We're all sinners and we all sin, but God forgives our sin if we confess it. Amen. Right. And so that's all he's asking of Israel, is just confess your sin and make things right, then I will hear you. Notice verse 16 says, wash you, make you clean, put away evil, the evil of your doings from before mine eyes, and cease to do evil. Learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widows. There's things that you need to be doing besides these other wicked deeds that you're doing and allowing to take place. God tried to get Israel or Judah to get right with him, make things right. He begged them to cleanse themselves from their sins. He was not interested in the ceremonial cleansing, going through all the motions. He wasn't interested in that. He wanted them to cleanse themselves of their sins. He begged them to learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. He begged his people to return to righteousness. Those things that he listed there, to learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, that's just pure righteousness. The widow, I mean, the fatherless, take care of them. That's righteousness. That's doing right. And he was pleading with them to do those things. That including doing good, doing justly, helping those in need, and watching over those in distress. What we see is that all that above, all the above had to disappear from Judah. All those things would disappear, and God would forgive them of their sin and heal their land if they would just be obedient. Amen? Those things were gone from Judah. They no longer cared for the widows. They no longer cared for those that were fatherless. They wasn't doing good. They wasn't doing right. If he was telling them to do those things, and obviously they wasn't doing those things, and they were living a life and sin against God. Verse 18 through verse number 20. Verse 18, God says, come now, let's reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. God invited them, a gracious offer, to come and sit down and let's make this thing right. Many sinners have been offered the gracious offer to come and sit down with the Lord. Amen. Right. This morning I preached the message on salvation, and God graciously gave an offer to every lost sinner. Amen. To come and reason together with the Lord. You're lost, you're on your way to hell. And there's a remedy for that if you'll accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Amen. Right. If they would humble themselves and pray and ask God to forgive them, God will forgive their sin. Amen. Right. And will save them. God's not willing that any should perish. We preached that this morning. I won't re-preach that again tonight. But God was gracious with that offer. Just as He's still gracious to the saints in our day that are believers, God's still gracious to forgive us of our sins. Amen. To say that we have no sins, we make Him a liar. The truth is not in us. Amen. That's divine. That's what the Word of God says. So we need to make sure that we have everything right with the Lord and we confess our sins and keep ourselves pure and right before the Lord. Here's the children of Israel doing that. Though their sin was as scarlet, indicated the depth and the willfulness of their sin. They was willfully sinning. They was doing things that they knew in their heart. They knew that was wrong, but yet they was doing it anyway. The Lord says unto them, if you'll come, though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. He was willing to pardon them and to cleanse them from all unrighteousness. Amen. What a great truth. What a great blessing. There's no white more dazzling than the newly fallen fresh snow. There's nothing as pretty as new fallen fresh snow. Long as it ain't on the road. Amen. But the snow is pretty. Amen. And the white, which makes all other whites seem dull and seem yellow by comparison. So that's the purest as you can get. And God says, although your sin is red as crimson, it's deep. You're deep in sin. You're willfully sinning. Although you've got that far deep in your sin, I will pardon you and I will cleanse you, make you white as snow. Boy, ain't that a blessing?
Amen.
Amen. Now, I know we're talking about Israel, talking about Judah, talking about the children of Israel. I remember the day when the Lord saved me. Amen.
Amen.
Took my sorry, rotten sins, my crimson sins, red as crimson, as wicked, as lost as I could be, and He cleansed me. Amen. And made me white as snow. Hallelujah. What a blessing that is. He forgave me of my sinful condition. God therefore offered the complete cleansing to Judah if they would repent and lavish gracious cleansing. That cleansing they still come from the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 1 verse 7. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Amen. I'm glad it says all sin. Cleanses us from all sin. Amen. Revelation chapter 1 verse 5, the Bible says, And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto Him that loved us, and washed us from our sins in His own blood.
Right.
Amen. We've been cleansed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. What a blessing. God presented to Judah a clear condition for cleansing. If they would be willing and obedient, He says to them, you shall eat the good of the land. If you're willfully sinning, if you're willfully doing something that's against the will of God, if you'll come now, and let's reason this thing together. If verse number 19, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. If you'll repent. You know, it's amazing to me how many people hear the Word of God, if they hear God say to them, repent, so repent, amen, and I will bless you. Repent, your sins shall be forgiven, and yet they will not repent, and they continue to live a life of sin. It's amazing. Sin has such bondage, it has such a hold on people. Sometimes people believe that sin is the only happiness that they can have. They've never been happy as long as they're living in sin. Amen. Nobody's ever happy living in sin.
That's right.
Amen. Nobody's ever happy. It's only for a season. Amen. That's what the Bible says. It's pleasure for a season, and then that season ends, and there's no longer happiness.
Right.
The men that run off with other ladies. My mother was having about a situation with some of the neighbors not far from her home. One of the husbands run off with some other woman. He left the wife with a house and a beautiful garage built out back, and had a nice place, and run off with some other woman. Listen, that sin is going to have a season, and one of these days it's going to come to an end. Amen? The pleasure of sin is only for a season, and people don't realize that. But then whenever that season ends, they're looking for another sin, amen, they participate in, so they can keep living a life of sin. You ain't lived until you confess your sin and got right with God. Amen? Until you've been cleansed by the blessed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. But here, the Bible says that God has made a clear condition with them. If they repent, they shall eat of the good of the land. The principle was a willing heart. God wasn't going to make them do anything. God doesn't make anybody except Christ as their Savior. God doesn't make them do anything. God gives them a choice. Amen. They must be willing, and with a willing heart. That shows a repentant heart. When someone confesses their sin and gets right with God, or someone confesses their sin and accepts Jesus Christ as their Savior, that's a repentant heart. That's a willing heart. They're willing. Sometimes we have folks that come to church and they've raised their hand. They realize they're lost. Amen. They took the first step. They've realized they're lost. And they slipped their hand up. Amen. Many times I know that we get to very concerned if they walk out the doors. I get concerned when they walk out the doors. After they've made that statement, they've lifted their hand, preached, I'm lost, would you pray for me? And they walk out the door still in that same condition. Now listen, I try to encourage them, and I know we all pray for them, but God didn't promise us another breath. Amen? They've made that decision. They realize the loss that God needs, or God is willing to save them if they would come to Him with a willing heart. Amen? They took the first step. I get so concerned about those that don't take that second step. Amen? Don't come forward. But anyway, it must be. The principle is from a willing heart. That's what God was saying of Judah, of all their wickedness and all their sin. If they be willing, if they be obedient, then they would eat of the land, the good of the land. The greater thought is that Judah was willing to return to her God in repentance and become obedient to His Word. He therefore promised that He would again bless them in their land. I said this Sunday night, I'll say it again for the sake of the message for those that are listening by social media or whatever other source are listening to this message. But here we are talking about Israel. We're talking about Judah, children of Israel. And God said, if they repent and get right with Him, He would heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14 is not for America. Amen. It's not for the Gentile church. This passage of Scripture is not for the Gentile church. God never promised America that He would heal our land. But He did promise that to the Jews. He did promise that to Israel. If they would repent and get right with God and be obedient to God, He would heal their land. They could live off the land. The land would produce good fruit. Amen. And they could live off their land. God promised them that. But He never promised that to America and to heal our land. Amen? Although that principle still is applied, if God's people will be obedient and live godly, live holy, God will bless you. Amen? God will take care of you. God will take care of your needs. God will bless you. Amen? And look at verse number 19. There's a great big word there. And that big word is if. If they would be willing to return to their God in complete obedience. If they'd be willing to do it wholeheartedly. Many times people will come to the house of God and they'll come forward, they'll repent, but they don't totally repent.
Right.
They don't completely repent. Well, I'm sorry for getting caught. That's basically what that is. Amen. They come before the Lord and they come to the altar and they say, God, I'm sorry that I did these things. And then they go back out and live their life and they're not completely repentant. They don't completely surrender and they still live a life of sin. And then, listen, God's not going to bless that. Amen? God's not going to bless that. God wasn't going to bless Israel unless they completely was obedient. He would bless them if they were. The promise is still in 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The problem there is if we confess. The problem to Israel is if they would be willing, if they would be obedient. The problem there is to the New Testament believers, if we confess. The problem is not with God. Amen? The problem is not with God. Right. God can, God will forgive. God will, God can cleanse. Amen?
Right.
The problem is not with God, the problem is with the believer.
Right.
Amen? If we confess, we don't want to confess. Amen? We like to cover it up. David was guilty of that. In 2 Samuel, David was guilty of covering up his sin. And for a long time, David tried to live his life covering up his sin. But God knew. Amen? And God said to David, David, everything that I gave you, if that wasn't enough, son, if you'd have just come and asked me, I'd have gave you thus and thus, I'd give you this or that. Well, David, whatever you did, if you didn't have enough, although God had really blessed him, abundantly blessed him, but God says, David, if that wasn't enough, I'd have given you whatever you'd asked me, as long as it was nothing ungodly or wicked, amen. David had tried to cover up the sin. You know what David's problem was? He didn't believe the if. The if we confess. God warned Israel, verse number 20, if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. If Judah refused to return to her God and continued to rebel, judgment was coming. Let me just go ahead and let you in on a little secret if you don't know your Bible. And some of you probably already know where I'm going with this. But they didn't repent. And God sent judgment. Amen? God sent judgment. They didn't hear it. But He was giving them the option. And He tells them, if you refuse and you rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword. The day was at hand when first the Assyrians would invade their land and then the Babylonians would utterly defeat them and carry them away captive for their sins. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Remember the story there in the book of Daniel in the furnace they did go? Those young men were part of that Babylonian captivity. They came in and took them captive. The Babylonians did. And the king Nebuchadnezzar, there's a witness of Daniel. Now Daniel was a young man and lived godly, lived holy, would not eat the king's meat, would not defile his mind. So that tells me there in Judah, there was a remnant, there was a few that was trying to do right. But the majority wasn't hearing, wasn't listening, wasn't confessing or seeing. Amen. What did God do for them? In the furnace they did go. But they come out and didn't even smell like smoke. Amen. The Lord blessed Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He blessed all of them for their willingness to be obedient to the Lord and live godly and live holy. Amen. So we find here that God tells them that they're going to be devoured. God had given them a clear option. The option was repent, return, obey, and be blessed. Or you can refuse, rebel, and disobey, and be devoured. I believe I went with the first option. Amen? I believe I'd remember that. God signed his offer with an oath of his own word. Notice the Bible says, for the mouth of the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, Jehovah, God, had spoken it. Amen? God spoke it, and that settled it, whether they were to believe it or not. Amen? That settled it. How has the faithful city become a harlot? It was full, verse number 21, it was full of judgment, righteousness lodged in it, but now murderers. God used the analogy of marriage with a faithful wife, eventually becoming an adulteress. Jerusalem had done that to her God. Once serving God and serving Him with a whole heart, now they've rebelled and they turned against Him. Whereas once Jerusalem and Judah had been a refuge for justice and righteousness, now it was a city of murderers. Jerusalem, Judah, used to be a place of refuge where someone needed a place to go. There was a city of refuge where they could go and they could get some help. They could get some encouragement. They could get lifted up by God's people. Amen. They could get some protection. But now that place was no longer like that. I'm sad to say in our day, there's a lot of churches that used to be a place of refuge. Amen. Where the hurting could go. They could, those that was hurting, those that were sin-sick, they could go and get some help from God's people. There's a lot of those that's turned from that now, and they're wicked and ungodly. They do what they do for material gain and for other reasons, amen? And there's not a lot of places for people to go where they can be led in the right direction. Amen? Judah was the same way. Jerusalem was the same way. It was a city that was a place of refuge, a place of justice, a place of righteousness. But now it's a place, a city full of murderers. Jesus, 700 years later, would charge Jerusalem for her murder of the prophets. In Matthew chapter 23, here's what the Bible says, verse number 37. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how oft would I have gathered thy children together, even as he gathered her chicken under her wings, and ye would not.
Right.
It was a place, listen, where people were used to could go. But Jerusalem turned against their very own prophets. Now, we understand the Apostle Paul. We've talked about the Apostle Paul said he was the chiefest of sinners. And the reason why Paul said he was the chiefest of sinners is because of his unbelief. He was one that was raised up a Hebrew of the Hebrews. Amen? He was raised up to believe the doctrine that was taught in his day. He was one that believed that if anyone came and preached any other God, any other gospel, they were to be put to death. And Paul believed that. Amen? And he persecuted the church because they came in preaching Jesus Christ. He didn't understand that. He found, finally the Lord showed him, amen, he understood that. And he repented of his sin, got right with God with what God did with him. God greatly used the Apostle Paul. Amen, greatly used him. But there were many that were killed, many of the prophets that were killed. And Jesus Christ himself, he charges Jerusalem for such a thing. And for doing it. Amen. It was once a city of refuge. Let me say that Israel is still not repented of their sin. It's still not a place of refuge. It's still not a place of righteousness. And it will not be until the Lord Jesus Christ sets up here on this earth.
Right.
Amen. Verse 22, thy silver has become dross, thy wine mixed with water. The glory of Jerusalem had been transformed into corruption. Their wine, the Bible uses that word wine, and we'll do a study on wine. This is non-alcoholic wine. The grapes of the vine are non-alcoholic. Amen. Man has to add things to the grape juice in order for it to ferment, in order for it to be alcoholic. Man has to get involved. This is wine, this is grape juice. And the Bible says here that their wine was mixed with water. That simply means that they was watering down their product. They were cheating the people. That's ungodly, amen. God wasn't pleased with their actions. The analogy of silver becoming dross refers to the slag of the refining process. They had substituted the slag of sin for the silvery gloss of righteousness. They had chosen to sin against God instead of living a life of righteousness. Their fine Jewish non-alcoholic wine had become watery. They had substituted that which was of great value for that which was worthless. Boy, that'll preach. It's a lot of people have substituted the things of great value, such as a testimony for the Lord, such as faithlessness of the Lord for things that are worthless.
Right.
People have substituted the church for the ballpark. They've substituted the church for the golf course. They've substituted the church for many other things. They listen, things that are worthless. When it all comes to an end and we stand before the Lord, what's going to be of great value? Amen? The life that we have lived for the Lord. Thy princes, verse 23, are rebellious and companions of thieves. Everyone loveth gifts and followeth after rewards. They judge not the fathers, neither the cause of the widow come unto them. Their corruption, their crookedness of their leadership in Judah was condemned. I know for sure beyond no shadow of a doubt that God condemns our leaders. Amen. Of our nation. It's wicked.
Yeah.
Amen. It's wickedness. The day is long.
Right.
It's just wicked. You can't say nothing except it's wicked. Yeah. It's not of God. God is not pleased.
Right.
I know Donald Trump was a man that held up the Bible. I know that he made many comments and statements concerning the Bible, concerning religion. He believed in a religious liberty.
Right.
Amen. Thank God for that. He stood up in front of one of the churches there, boldly proclaiming the Bible being the Word of God. Amen. Thank God for men like that. Amen. He might not have been saved. I don't believe Donald Trump was saved. I believe he's still questioning the Bible. How do I know that? Because I know someone personally witnessed to it and shared with him the truth of the gospel that he was a little confused about. I don't believe he was saved. I believe he was trying to figure that out.
Yeah.
And still pray for him. Amen. That he'll come to that saving knowledge before it's too late. But he didn't do everything perfect, but he wasn't as wicked as what we have in office now.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm not trying to be political tonight. I'm just telling you, God's not pleased with our nation.
Right.
You and I can't change the nation. Amen. We'll never change the nation. We'll never go to the White House and change what's going on in the White House. What we have to do is change what's going on in our house.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. Make sure God's pleased with us. Pleased with us and pleased with what we're doing. Amen. Then our community sees that. Amen. And God bless us. God blesses our nation. Our individual. Amen.
Amen.
We find here that due to the corruption, the crookedness of their leadership, God condemned that. They not only were dishonest, but they were willingly receiving bribes. They were hard-hearted towards those in need and had no concern for them. God warns them again, verse 24, verse 25. Therefore saith the Lord of hosts, the mighty one of Israel, I will ease me of my adversaries and avenge me of my enemies. Who those enemies and adversaries are is not very clear. But we understand that this would apply those in Judah had so rebelled against their God. God was tired of it. And that being the case, judgment is implied here in this verse of Scripture. This thought is reinforced as the Lord warns, verse 25, I will turn my hand upon thee and purely purge away thy dross and take away all thy sin. God was going to send judgment if they did not repent of their sin. They didn't change their ways of doing things. You know, a lot of times people say, well, it's okay. Nobody knows except you and me. You know, the devil will say that too sometimes. It's okay. Don't nobody know, just me and you. God knows.
Amen.
God's a watcher. God sees. God knows. Verse 26 and 27 of the chapter now changes dramatically here in these two verses. Whereas God had been warning of coming judgment, now the tone is of restoration after the judgment. God says, judgment's coming. I'm going to send it. I'm going to chasten my people because they're going to repent. But then he changes the tone here and he's going to share with us what's going to happen after the judgment. Though God would chasten His people, He would use it to restore them to righteousness afterward. We study the Bible and we know that God chastens the believer. Amen? If you can sin and it not bother you, you're not a believer. You're not a child of God. Amen? If you can willingly sin and it not bother you, you're not a child of God. That's fine. God chastens His children.
Amen?
He doesn't do that to be a cruel God, and many people accuse Him and charge Him of being a cruel God and a hateful God and a mean God, but He's not that way. Amen. He's a loving God, but He hates sin.
Right.
And He chastens His children so we will repent of our sin and be restored back into the fellowship with God the Father.
Right.
Every time we sin and sin against the Father, we lose fellowship. And God chastens us so we can be back in fellowship if we repent of those sins, amen, and get back in fellowship with Him. That's what it's for. That's what the chastening hand of God is for. Amen. Even though for do good, good for not human is sin, that covers a lot of territory. And listen, if we sin and knowingly sin, willingly sin, God will chasten us.
Right.
God will chasten the believer.
Yeah.
Many people ask the question, why do I have to go through the things that I go through? Now, not all sickness is because of sin. But a lot of sickness is because of sin.
Right.
There's many people that have sin in their life and just will not repent. They just love living that life. They love being rebellious against God. They've named the name of Christ. They believe Jesus Christ to be their Savior, but they're living in known sin and wonder why their life is the way it is.
Yes.
Well, the good thing is if we just repent, God will restore us. Amen. He says, I will restore thy judges as at the first and thy counselors as at the beginning. Afterward, thou shalt be called the city of righteousness, the faithful city. After having allowed Jerusalem to be severely chastened for her sin, God will someday restore the leadership of the nations in righteousness as it originally had been. In that day, Jerusalem will again be called the city of righteousness, the faithful city. The final fulfillment of this prophecy still awaits. It has not been fulfilled yet. Israel is not the city of righteousness. If you go over there, they still rebelling.
Yeah.
Amen. It's not a city of righteousness. It's not a faithful city. That has not been fulfilled. Though God did allow the restoration and the rebuilding of Jerusalem, using Ezra and Nehemiah rebuilding of Jerusalem, there was still some sparks of revival in those years before restoration of righteousness and faithfulness in Jerusalem not take place. But the King of righteousness rules and reigns upon the earth. Amen. So he rules and reigns from Jerusalem, the city of Zion. In that day, verse 27, Zion shall be redeemed with judgment, and her converts with righteousness. Zion, of course, is speaking of Jerusalem. Though the Jews return to Jerusalem under Ezra and Nehemiah, the full stature of judgment and the righteousness remains to be fulfilled. Again, this will not be accomplished until Jesus Christ, the righteous, sits upon his throne in Jerusalem. There is coming a day when that will happen, but that's not yet taking place. But we find here that God did send judgment to Jerusalem. He did send the Babylonians in. The Assyrians came in, and then the Babylonians came in and took them captive. You remember the account where they were captive for 70 years. The reason why they was captive for 70 years, because God had told them to let their land rest every 7 years to let it rest. They did not do that. They rebelled. It seems like a simple thing, doesn't it? Just to let the land rest.
Right.
But they rebelled against God and didn't allow the land to rest. And they did that for years after years after years. And they built up the land debt rest, or land rest debt, unto the Lord. There's where the 70 years come in of captivity.
Yeah.
Amen? And that's why God sent them away in captivity for 70 years. I know that's deep stuff, but we'll discuss all that, amen, as we go through the book of Isaiah. God did send judgment as He said He would, and God keeps His promises. Amen. If they had repented, God would have forgave them.
Right.
If they had cleansed themselves from their unrighteousness, God would have forgave them. But they didn't. And God sent captivity, sent judgment, chastened them for their wickedness, for their ungodliness. And listen, there's coming a day when God's going to set the record straight there in Jerusalem. That day will come. It hasn't yet. Notice with me, verse 29, for they shall be ashamed of the oaths which they have desired. And ye shall be confounded for the gardens that ye have chosen. The oaths they desired and the gardens they chose undoubtedly refer to idolatry on every high hill and under every green tree. When God's judgment finally came, men would be ashamed of their idolatrous practices. You'll find those references to the idols in 2 Kings chapter 16, verse 4, 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 10, 2 Chronicles chapter number 28, verse number 4. They chose to worship the idols instead of worshiping God. And God says, there'll be a day. There'll be a day. You'll be ashamed of all those things.
Amen.
Verse 30 and 31, for you shall be as an oak whose leaf fadeth, and as a garden that hath no water. and the strong shall be as tow, and the maker of it as a spark. And they shall both burn together, and none shall quench them. An oak whose leaf fades is a dying tree, just like a garden with no water. Isaiah the prophet warned how the rulers of Judah will become as tow or as flax, which has no strength. Those rulers of the day would be weak. They'd have no strength. Tow was used for wicks and candles. And Isaiah is warning how that the maker of these, which was Jehovah God and none other, would soon burn them together and no one would be able to quench or extinguish the fire of his wrath. Amen? You'll find it over in the book of Revelation.
Yeah.
Amen? He's going to destroy the earth in the fire.
Right.
It's going to burn up. Amen? It's going to destroy the elements. They're going to burn up. The wrath of God's judgment against backslidden Judah was set forth by the prophet Isaiah. Though God would eventually restore them in the day of the Lord, His chastening judgment was at hand. And God's warning against His people continue over in chapter number 2. We'll read just a little bit of chapter number 2. We won't get very far because it's already a little after 7. But we'll read a little bit of chapter number 2. The word that Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Chapter 2, verse 1. Verse number 2 says, "It came to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established at the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, Come ye, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and He will teach us of His ways, and we will walk in His paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. O house of Jacob," verse number 5, "O house of Jacob, come ye, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Therefore thou hast forsaken thy people, the house of Jacob, because they be replenished from the east, and are soothsayers like the Philistines, and they please themselves in the children of strangers. Their land also is full of silver and gold, neither is there any end of their treasures. Their land is also full of horses, neither is there any end of their chariots. Their land also is full of idols, and they worship the work of their own hands, and that which that their own fingers hath made. And the mean man bowed down, and the great man humbled himself. Therefore forgive them not. Enter to the rock, and hide thee in the dust, for fear of the Lord, and for the glory of His majesty. The lofty man, the lofty looks of man shall be humbled," verse 11, "and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon everyone that is proud and haughty, and upon everyone that is lifted up and shall be brought low. Upon the elders, upon all the cedars of Lebanon that are high and lifted up, and upon all the oaks of Bashan, upon the high mountains and upon all the hills that are lifted up, upon every high tower, and every fence and wall, and upon the ships of Tarshish, and upon the all pleasant pictures, and the loftiness of man shall be bowed down, the haughtiness of men shall be made low, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. Every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess. He is Lord of lords and King of kings."
Amen.
In that day. Amen. Although they may have all the riches, they may have all the materialism, they may worship their pagan gods and their pagan idols and all the things that they did of that day, the Bible says the prophet Isaiah is warning them, there's coming a day. Those things will burn up.
Right.
And there'll be one that sits upon the throne and everybody will listen to Him. They'll bow down and they'll hear Him. They'll listen to His word. Amen. Isaiah chapter number 1, let's finish the number of study tonight, a little bit of chapter number 2. Study that, read that chapter this week. Meditate on that chapter, amen. We'll come back Sunday night, Lord willing. And maybe Wednesday night, I'm not sure yet, but for sure Sunday night. And try to continue our study in the book of Isaiah. God is warning His people. Amen. And I'm glad God still warns His people. He warns us because He loves us. Amen. He loves us and wants us to be in fellowship with Him. I've said this many times before, and I'll say it again tonight. I don't know what I would do without a fellowship of the Lord.
Yeah.
I mean, I really don't. There's many days, there's struggling days and difficult days. days with burdens and heartaches, and I just don't know what I'd do without the Lord.
Right.
I can't just pick the phone up and call just anybody. They don't understand.
Right.
He always does. Amen. Always knows the right words to say. Directs my path in the right direction. Amen. Glad I'm saved, don't you? Glad I got a God that cares.
Amen.
Glad I got a God that chastens.
Right.
Chastens because He cares. He cripples us because He cares. Amen. That's a loving God, a loving Father. Bless His holy name. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, tonight for the privilege You give us, Lord, to be in Your house. Thank You, Lord, for the precious one.